The Sportscast, August 13th, 2021. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, twitch.tv, YouTube, Twitter, Apple Podcast. And if you are listening on Apple Podcast, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. Visit our website, thesportscast.net. You can listen to our online radio at thesportscast.net, or you could go to our app, The Sportscast for iOS. Get the latest notifications, the latest news, and things like that. The NFL preseason is underway this weekend, as many teams will decide who will be the starting, who will be in that starting roster, who's going to get cut. And, of course, a few teams out there that don't know who's going to be their starting quarterback. Join us all the way from PA, Jeff Favre. It's been a long time. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
It's been too long, but, yeah, thank you for having me.
You were – you know, it's funny because I think you came on to one episode like a month or 2 months after the Chiefs lost.
Yeah, I was still in deep sorrow at that point.
But is it okay? Is it, you know, come to a point where, okay, Tom Brady is the GOAT, he can win it. Is that like not enough for you to say, you know, it's a legit loss?
I mean, a lot of people have lost to Brady. I mean, that's just unfortunately that's kind of how it goes. You know, he wins a lot, so. But yeah, I think the Chiefs have had a good offseason though, and I think they've really made a very, very strong push to fix their biggest issues.
Which that is a good segue into. Tell us about the Kansas City Chiefs. Of course, I know there was some contract sign. All I heard that Mahomes bought a new team, or he's part owner of the KC Sporting KC. But tell us what's going on in Kansas City. Are they Super Bowl bound? Have they strengthened their roster?
So obviously every year a few players change and your new young guys come in. You have your guys that have to make their second and third year leaps. So on paper, I think, you know, their biggest weakness by the end of last year was their offensive line. And a lot of that was because of injuries. And that's what I'm most curious to see. They brought in Orlando Brown. They brought in Joe Tooney. They drafted Trey Smith and Humphrey. And then they have Lucas Niang, who sat out. He was drafted last year, but then sat out because of COVID. So I think talent-wise, they're undoubtedly more talented, but there's a lot of youth. I mean, center, right guard, and right tackle are pretty much rookies, even though Niang technically isn't a rookie. He didn't play last year. So talent-wise, I think they have plenty of talent, but I also think early in the year there could be some messy games, or at the very least some messy moments where they figure things out. But by the end of the year, or even the second half of the year, really think that you'll see a very good offensive line. And look, to me, if the offensive line is good, the Chiefs are they're the best team in the AFC again. I mean, you look around the AFC, and I don't really know who did anything large scale enough to unseat the Chiefs. Now, injuries can always change that, but if every team is equally healthy, let's not kid ourselves. The last 2 years, the Chiefs have won every playoff game that Mahomes played by double digits. So the other teams had a lot of catching up to do, and the Bills and Ravens will be right there. I think the Browns did a lot of good things, but yeah, if injuries are all the same, the Chiefs are still the favorite in the AFC.
Tell us about the running game. I know that Clyde Edwards-Helaire was the rookie last season. What were your thoughts over his first year, and do you think his second year he'll be more bombastic?
Wow, bombastic. it's a tough one to identify. I mean, I don't think Helaire is ever going to be super dynamic in terms of, you know, I don't see him breaking off 50 and 60 yard touchdown runs. He just doesn't have the top end speed. But I do think you'll see a few more big plays, and the offensive line, just even when the offensive line was healthy, run blocking was not its strength. And I think that'll be different this year, especially at the end of games. The Chiefs' two biggest weaknesses in my eyes were they couldn't finish drives. They were at one point 27th in red zone offense, and they didn't finish games. You know, how many Chiefs games did you turn on that they were up by 14 or up by 20, and before you know it, they win the game by 6? Which, it's great, they won the game, but they couldn't close out games because they couldn't run the ball. So what I see being a differentiator is the improved offensive line should allow them to run the ball better at the end of drives and the end of games. I think Clyde will have a good year. But the guy, I tell you, and I'm probably, maybe I'm a little bit higher on it than I should be, but I think Darrell Williams, you know, he played pretty well for them at the end of last year, and he did it in an offense that maybe wasn't completely a fit for him. This year, he's going to get a chance to get ahead of steam running behind an offensive line that's built the power block a little bit more. So I think I've said this a few times, but I think Darrell Williams is going to lead the team in touchdowns. And maybe that's a little bit crazy, but I believe that. I think he's going to lead the team in touchdowns just because he's the big back and they'll finish drives with him.
Do you think Tyreek Hill will be the best wide receiver this season for the Chiefs, of course, but also for the NFL?
For the Chiefs, definitely. You know, I don't think there's any contest there, especially with Sammy Watkins gone. But the NFL, that's tough. There's so many really good guys. Davante Adams is going to be right there. I think Hill's the most dynamic, and I don't think there's anyone close in that regard. I mean, you know, Tyreek is just, every time he touches the ball, it could be a touchdown, so that's where he's great. But to just say the best overall receiver, he'll be right there. He has an argument for it, but there's a lot of other good guys too.
Let's look into beyond the AFC West. Let's go into the Colts. Big loss with Wentzylvania. Carson Wentz got injured. He might be back later this season. Jeff, there is going to be quarterback competition with Ellinger and Jacob Eason. How do you see the situation in Indianapolis?
If Wentz doesn't play, they're in big trouble. That's the short version. But it does sound as though, from recent reports, that they're hopeful that Wentz can play week one. But that has just been his issue for the last, 3 years now, maybe even 4 years. Wentz, you think, okay, he'll change scenery, he'll stay healthy behind a really good offensive line, he'll get his act together. And here we are again, he's hurt again. And I know I'm not trying to beat the guy up for it. A lot of these things seem to be uncontrollable. But, man, it's just, here we are. It's not even week one of the season. It seems like it's the same old story so far. So, look, the Colts are in trouble. If you play your backup quarterback, you're in trouble. And Nelson getting hurt makes their offensive line a little bit less dominant. So that's a problem too. I mean, their defense will have to carry him a little bit if Wentz and Nelson miss some games.
More Colts news. Well, they had a couple of Colts news this past week. Darius Leonard, the highest paid linebacker in the NFL, worth up to $99 million, $52 million guaranteed. What were your thoughts about that? Was that well deserved?
Absolutely. He's a great player, and he also fits today's game because he can cover, he can run and hit, he can play in space, which is what you need from a linebacker the way the NFL's played today. I mean, he's one of the very best in the league, and everyone gets caught up in the numbers, but with the cap bouncing back and the new gambling and TV money coming in, the contracts are just going to look more and more absurd. So, I mean, it's hard to really say, like, you know, did they get good value? Did they not? I mean, we don't really know that till later in the game, but I'd say he's one of the very best players on your team. So as soon as you can, you have to lock him up and make sure you keep him.
Yeah, and which is a good point you brought up with the casinos and everything. Now that sports betting has been opened up, the New Orleans Saints Stadium is called Caesars Superdome. We're going to see a lot more of that. It's more open. Now there's some stadiums that have some booking companies in the stadium where you're able to place bets on game day.
Who would have thought you'd ever see the day? But, yeah, I mean, they're going to make a lot of money off that, and they're going to make a lot of money off the new TV deal, and the cap's going to just keep growing. So, you know, the cap grows, the players make more money. That's how the game works.
Yeah, pretty much situation. Another quarterback situation is Deshaun Watson. And there's obviously rumors, you know, trading him to the Eagles and possibly getting that quarterback into the Texans. What do you think about that situation in Houston? Do you think Jalen Hurts would be worth the trade? Like, what are your thoughts over that, like those rumors?
The problem with trading a guy like Watson is there's no way you can get back the value that you need to make it worth it. So you have a 25-year-old quarterback that's really good in their prime. I mean, you can't trade more than 3 years worth of picks. So even if you trade him to the Eagles and you get Hurts and you get a bunch of first-round picks, you still have to hit on those picks, or whoever you trade them to. It's just impossible to overstate the impact that a good quarterback has and how hard it is to find a franchise quarterback. So the Texans did the hard part. They got Watson, but now they've just been such a mess. So my thought on the whole thing is, if we use the Eagles as the team, the problem I see is you could end up in a lose-lose situation, because the Texans lose because you're not guaranteed that you're going to get a new franchise quarterback, although I can understand why they want to move on from him if things have just gotten to an unworkable place. From the Eagles' perspective, your roster needs an infusion of talent. I mean, the Eagles' roster has become old and just not – they're just not as talented as they were for a while. So if you get rid of all of the picks that you've accumulated to get Watson, it's great because now you have your quarterback. But now he's back to being in a situation like he came from in Houston, where the supporting cast isn't very good. So I guess if you're the Eagles, you still pull the trigger because quarterback means everything. And if you're the Texans, you just get as much as you possibly can for him and you move on. But I still think, just my inkling on it is, it'll whoever trades for him will probably be a team that wasn't talked about. It seems to work out that way so many times. Somebody is leaking that information so that we hear about the Eagles and Watson. I don't know who or why. I don't know if it's Watson's side or the Eagles.
I believe you. I've seen those tactics before.
Yeah, so... I think he's just going to end up in some team that we didn't see coming. That's my fault.
And if you had to take a guess, who would it be? I would say the Broncos, but what would your guess be?
I don't think it'll be the Broncos. Just because it seems as me is to me, it seems as though there's been a lot of smoke around the Broncos every time a quarterback becomes potentially available. And I think that's a little bit of fan-driven want more than anything. And then, again, that goes back to why are we hearing that nonstop? Sometimes you're hearing it because it's viable. Sometimes you're hearing it because it's leverage. You know, the team I keep coming back to is Washington, because they've been known to make that type of move in the past. I mean, they went and got Alex Smith. You know, unfortunately had that injury, but, and even, you know, they've always been a team that trades for someone, and assuming you don't have to give up too much to get Watson, they're very talented. If Washington could figure out their quarterback situation, I think they could win immediately.
Don't you think they're kind of locked in with Fitzpatrick in a way? Like, this guy is good for this year?
No, I don't. I mean, Fitzpatrick's bounced around so much, and I mean, you're kind of putting him out there just as somebody that can not sink the ship. But if you get Watson, you have a guy that, I mean, I don't want to jump the gun, but as good as Washington's defense could be, if you get a guy like Watson, you don't have to give up some of those defensive players. I think, I mean, they instantly become the front runner in that division easily. And then you start talking about the best teams in the NFC. I mean, assuming Watson could, I mean, the hard part about now is, if you trade him right now, he has a lot to learn about the new system, new players, and all that. But
with so little time
up there, yeah, there isn't a lot of time. Obviously the Bucks brought everybody back and they're the champs, so they're the best team. And then you have the Packers that'll be right there. And then after that, I mean, you think Washington's in that next group of teams in the NFC. If they were to get Watson, that is.
Yeah, that's something to definitely look at. I'm pretty curious with Watson, but it feels like, I don't know, it feels like that window's closing a little bit. But, you know, hey, anything could happen in the NFL, of course. We touched on the Broncos. Do you think the future of this franchise is either Locke or Teddy Bridgewater, or do you think they'll probably eventually go with someone else?
I mean, anything can happen, but I would be absolutely stunned if either one of those guys is there in 2 years from now. You know, Locke is just a complete erratic, like, his throws are just everywhere. And Bridgewater, I guess, is fine as a guy to have as a backup or someone that can come in for a couple games,
yeah.
But you don't want to bank your franchise's success on him.
Yeah, that's something that I've realized, that Bridgewater's become a journeyman. Of course, I mean, I'm sure he wants to be settled somewhere. But interesting situation with the Broncos. We got to touch on Green Bay. What were your thoughts over, like, the whole Aaron Rodgers situation? Of course, it took them a few months to get things in order. They brought in Randall Cobb. Do you think this is his last dance with Green Bay?
I'm torn on that. Because I look at it and say, it feels as though he's making his way out of Green Bay, but at the same time, two things make everything feel better. The first thing is winning, and the second thing is money, and I'm probably putting those in reverse order. So it just feels to me as though Rodgers wants to see some things run differently, and then maybe he ultimately gets like a brand new 3-year deal to finish his career in Green Bay. The whole Broncos thing always sat funny with me.
Also, another rumor.
Somebody obviously told Mark Schlereth. If you saw his reporting, somebody obviously told him that a trade was happening, and we don't know who told him that. I don't think Schlereth is the type of guy that would just blatantly make something up. You know, I just don't believe that. So somebody reported that to him, and it's somebody that he trusts. But that, to me, just feels like a major leverage play. Whether it's a money thing, whether it's a control thing, somebody wanted there to be real fear that he was on the way out of town. So, but I think when it all plays out, when it's all over with, he stays in Green Bay. That's what I think happens.
The buck stops there. Like you were saying, he could end up, you know, finishing up with another 3-year extension contract that will end up him staying with Green Bay. Obviously, be nice to have. I mean, he probably wants another Super Bowl before he ends his career. I mean, obviously, he has to deal with Tom Brady for at least 2 more seasons. It's doable. And, you know, Randall Cobb, which he actually kind of, well, he commented about that Green Bay doesn't do well to retain their players, which, you know, Randall Cobb left. Now he comes back. You think the addition with Cobb will have more motivation for Aaron?
I don't think that moves the needle a whole lot. Maybe it's a comfort thing. Maybe on 3rd and 3, you have a guy to go to. So maybe there are some plays to be made there. But I don't think that changes the trajectory of the team a whole lot. I mean, now, to be fair, the Packers are going to be good with or without Cobb. So either way, they'll be really good. But I don't think that move right now is as big of a differentiator. I mean, maybe on 3rd down it is. Maybe 3rd and short, you know, he gives you someone reliable. So that would be a possibility.
Yeah, that is a plus. You're right. He's just a cherry on top, maybe, you know, just an extra player. But, hey, we'll see with the Packers. Definitely contender. Great team. Great organization. I can't say that because Aaron has revealed some stuff of what's happening behind the scenes. Of course, that's from his perspective. And I think there might have been one other player that was complaining. I can't remember who it was. But
yeah, Devontae Adams alluded to the fact that he wasn't going to sign an extension. Yeah.
So it happens. I mean, there's no perfect organization. I know, like, the one that's really stiff, really, you know, well – you can say it's the Patriots, but that's another podcast to talk about. Atlanta signs Deontay Foreman. Thoughts on that, Jeff?
Yeah, I mean, continuity, right, goes back to the Falcons. It's good for them, but the Falcons are a tough team to figure out. They act like a team that's in win now mode, but I don't think they are. And then they trade Julio Jones, so I just I don't know. I think they're kind of an average to slightly below average team.
Do you think we'll see a slightly improvement from them this upcoming season, or do you think we'll see much more of the same?
I think it's going to be very similar to last year. I mean, I don't know where they get large scale improvement, and you know they have to go up against the Bucs. I mean, now the Saints could fall back to earth a little bit, so that'll help them. And it's hard to know what's going to happen in Carolina because they have so many new pieces.
Yep. Quarterback Sam. So we'll see what happens. Last weekend was the Hall of Fame. Two highlights that I thought, well, a couple highlights. Peyton Manning, obviously second night, and then Jimmy Johnson, former Cowboy and Miami coach. He mentioned that Zach Thomas and Darren Woodson should be in the Hall of Fame. What do you think about that?
So Darren Woodson was phenomenal. And for whatever reason, some guys just get lost in the shuffle and maybe we don't remember how great they were in their prime. But, I mean, growing up, I mean, Woodson was one of the best defensive backs in the NFL. He was great. Zach Thomas, I mean, the only thing that plays against Zach is the whole – like sometimes guys just rack up a whole bunch of numbers, but they don't get the opportunity to play on a great team. And I think that might be what hurt Thomas is, you know, not that the Dolphins didn't have good teams, but he never got to play in a Super Bowl. Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think he ever played in the Super Bowl. So that's a tough thing. And even though I don't think it's really fair to hold that against someone, because at the end of the day, you can be absolutely phenomenal and still just not play on a team that makes the Super Bowl. Sometimes that gets held against guys. But, yeah, I mean, Zach Thomas was a great player. No doubt about it. I mean, one of the absolute, you know, what he was always in the tackle leaders year after year after year. And just he was a scud missile in the middle of the defense. But, you know, I would just say this. Jimmy Johnson, if he says it, he's probably right.
Okay.
You know, Jimmy Johnson was a great coach. So if he says they should be in, then they should probably be in.
Yeah, Zach Thomas did not play in any Super Bowl team. He played for the Dolphins, Cowboys, and to your Chiefs back in 2009.
Yeah, I don't think he ever made it to the field, though, because he had concussions in training camp, and I don't know that he ever actually – kind of like Ronnie Lott. A lot of people don't realize Ronnie Lott finished his career with the Chiefs, but he never made it to the regular season because of injuries.
Yeah, practice squad. Yeah, pretty much it. And I'm thinking Joe Montana, but he did take you guys to the – it's the
AFC
Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
Oh, no,
AFC
Championship game.
Yeah, lost to the Bills.
Quite interesting. Yeah, so Hall of Fame was definitely full of action. Of course, you got Peyton Manning as well winning. And, the Steelers player, I can't pronounce his name well, Polamalu, had a cool bust. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Congrats. Which this year was doubled up because last year they did not have the Hall of Fame ceremony, so they doubled up this season. So looking forward to the future, and I guess, and you know, Brady was at the ceremony for Pate, so we'll see when Brady will get inducted.
Yeah, well, I just hope he stops playing soon.
Yeah. We gotta let the little goats be goats, right?
That's right, absolutely.
So this season, there's only 3 weeks of preseason. Jeff, what are your expectations? For your Chiefs, but also for other NFL teams. What do you want to see, or you just saying, hey, I pretty much just wants to get over this. Over this already.
I'm always curious about the young guys. I mean, I enjoy watching some of the fringe guys, you know, try to earn snaps or, you know, just try to make the team. Now this year is a little bit unique with the Chiefs because even though they were a Super Bowl participant, the offensive line is five new starters. So in a normal year, I would just say get them in one drive, get them out, and let's get ready for the regular season. But I do think because it's completely new, I think this year they need to get some snaps together. So it'll be a little bit different this year. I am curious to see the offensive line play together. And then that's really it, though. Because you can't take much from preseason because everything is so watered down and vanilla. Every year we do this, we're so anxious for football that the first time somebody makes a play in the preseason, we think, oh my gosh, this guy's the next big thing. You know, and I'm not going to say anything bad about Mac Jones, but I saw some people making some pretty bold statements about, you know, how good he is. And I'm not saying he can't be good. I'm just saying it's one preseason game where the coverages are vanilla. Everything around them is pretty predetermined. So I wouldn't get too high or too low. Like if he played poorly, I'd also say don't get too down on him either. But yeah, so I wouldn't take a lot from preseason.
How many starting games do you think Mac Jones will start for the Patriots this season?
Well, I think they're crazy if they start Cam. I mean, I just don't think Cam has a lot left in the tank. And I think you just start Jones week one, you see what he is, and you just give him every opportunity to be the starter.
Pretty interesting, which he is number 10, same number he was with Alabama. So at least he'll feel comfortable with that number and that jersey. So there's a lot of quarterback situations, of course, in Indianapolis. But, I mean, that could be short up in New England. I'm trying to think of, of course, the Broncos has a quarterback situation is there as well. Anywhere else that you could think of?
I think the 49ers need to go young. I mean, they should just start Trey. Start Trey, man. He's a talent. I mean, I don't. You never know if it's a boom or bust thing, but I think he's just another one of those talented guys that's going to play well. And Garoppolo is what he is. I mean, maybe you keep him on your roster because he can come in and win a game or two for you if he needs to. But go with a young guy. Get him out there and get him his experience and get ready to compete.
Short lived. That I will say about Garoppolo, short-lived, you know, upcoming star, battered with injuries, and then Niners select Trey Lance, which over Mac Jones, everyone thought would be reversed. So interesting situation in San Francisco, which they got Clifton Dix. So that's a good pickup, right?
Yeah, and, you know, to be honest with you, I didn't realize I thought he was a little bit older. But, I mean, he's still under 30. Might have some gas left in the tank. Certainly, you know, I thought he was a guy who was going to be a star, and it just didn't quite play out that way. At least later in his career, you know, things started to go in the wrong direction. But, I mean, at this point, maybe he can bounce back. And, look, the 49ers, their roster is very, very talented. So if they can carve out a role for him, you know, maybe he can make a difference for them.
Nick Bosa is coming back, so that will definitely help. And, yeah, this 49ers team definitely has some future. Of course, they got to deal with the NFC West with the tough Cardinals and Seattle. So definitely a good conference to be competitive. Anyways, that's all I got. Poll question of the day. Which hand do you write on, your right or your left?
I'm right-handed, man.
Awesome. Well, the poll – yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say I cannot be part of international left-handed day.
Exactly. Day. Which majority of people are right-handed. So it does reflect to the world. Our sportscast followers are mostly right at 62% and left-handed at 38%. So go to our Twitter poll, the sportscast one, and go vote on which hand do you write on. Jeff Favre, what is the best way to reach you online to talk to you about barbecue sauce?
The best way to follow along is at JT Favre on Twitter.
And you could follow us on Twitter at TheSportsCast1 or on our website, thesportscast.net. We've been coming out with some predictions, top quarterbacks, and obviously looking onward and breaking news. There's a lot of going on with free agency, maybe trades. We could see a Watson trade in the next few weeks. We'll see what happens. And looking forward to this great football season, long awaited. And it's just most when it hits September, like the first week, that first Thursday, it's just actually first weekend. Like the Thursday night football is fine, but I like the Sunday games, which is where you feel a lot more emotion, for me at least.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
like the season has arrived at that point.
Yeah, it feels so good, so special. It feels like we're coming together. Anyways, Jeff Favre, I appreciate you coming on to the Sportscast.
All right, thanks for having me.